smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf number 11. I'm Fred Green. Thanks for joining us for another entry to the Golf Better podcast. We hope that you learned as much as we did in our inaugural year. We want to thank all the companies and people who provided us fascinating insight to what goes into the development, manufacturing, and marketing of golf products. Joining me for this and every episode of Golf Better is the veteran technical specialist for Edwin Watts Golf and EdwinWattsGolf.com, Kenny Nicholson. Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Good morning, Fred. Doing great. Thanks.
Now, even though we've started a new calendar year, the golf equipment season doesn't really get cooking until the annual PGA Expo takes place in mid-January in Orlando, Florida. Traditionally, that's when all the new products are introduced. But before the year officially ends, Kenny, what do you think about doing a show that's a year in review for 2007?
I think it would be a terrific idea. It would give the consumer something to listen to and find out about some of the great things that were missed and some of the new products that they might not have heard about. So for that, I've invited Eric Mumford, who is our store manager in Nashville, and Matt Matthews, who is our store manager in Houston, Texas, at our Galleria store. They've been with the company for a long time, and they'll have some great insight.
Well, let me welcome them both. Eric, are you with us?
Yeah, I am, Fred. Good morning.
And we got to say, Eric, if the name Eric Mumford sounds familiar to our audience, Eric is the son of Carrie Mumford, who's been on the Golf Smarter program a number of times. Obviously, you're a golf family, huh?
Yes, sir, we are, Fred. Golf family. Put myself through college with it and have just been in the industry the whole time. And as you know, Dad's been on the mental side of the game trying to help people get better.
And how come you got into retail?
Well, I was a club professional PGA member for 12 years, and I had known of Edwin Watts and had been fortunate enough to meet them in a time in the past, and just made a quality of life move with my family about 11 years ago, and started with Edwin at that point.
So you've been with Edwin Watts for 11 years?
That's correct.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. I also want to welcome Matt Matthews, who's at the Houston Galleria store. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Fred. Good day to you.
And how long have you been with Edwin Watts Golf? How did you get there? What was your path?
Well, we're going to ditto Eric's thoughts there. 11 years. 11 years with Edwin Watts. December 16th, I made my 11-year anniversary. I, too, was a club pro and got a Michael Shane, who is manager of our Kenner store, invited me to come in and join the Edwin Watts team. And here I am today in wonderful Houston Galleria.
And what was your path? What were you doing before that?
I was in the PGM program up in Mississippi State, and you know, I saw myself getting on the green side of things there with on the golf course, and it just kind of wasn't working out, and the dollars didn't really line up there, and so I switched over to retail, and it's been quite successful to this point. Thanks again to Edwin, John Watts, and everybody involved.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. This is really going to be an interesting conversation. Now, we want to make sure that our audience identifies you each time you speak, so make sure that you say your name if you have something to say, if I don't do it. But, Kenny, let's talk about a year in review. What happened in 2007 in the golf consumer industry?
There was a lot of changes that came out that were fairly innovative, with moment of inertia was probably the most important factor that came out in drivers. What you look at is the stability of the golf club. You know, on impact, how much does the golf club twist? So they came out with higher moment of inertia drivers. The USGA countered that and said, okay, here's the maximum allowable moment of inertia that you're allowed. So with drivers, they also came out with hybrids that had more square head technology that had higher moment of inertia. Iron technology has been a huge swing as well. They've created irons that have different centers of gravity, more weight on a heel in the toe of the golf club to create a higher moment of inertia, lower center of gravity to help get the ball airborne. I mean, there's been a lot of great products that have come out this year from every aspect.
Hey, Matt, let's talk about drivers for a minute. Houston gets to play golf 12 months a year, I would think. You must go through a lot of different types of drivers for your customers. What did you see happen this year with the new, as Kenny was talking about, the high MOI drivers, the new square head technology? What did you see, and what did your customers say?
Yeah, it was certainly a year of the new geometric shapes out there. We saw them from squares to triangles. We have round faces in the TaylorMade Burner driver, for instance, but, you know, they have an effective MOI, so they kind of use some buzzwords there. But we have, like you said, 12 months we're playing golf over here, and we also have a large international clientele who comes in here. They loved it. They love the Callaway FTI. They love the Nike Sumo Square drivers, and it's just, it makes sense, you know? You're still going to hit the ball as far, but now you're going to hit it straighter. It's kind of like torque ratio in a shaft, but now you have it in the head of a driver.
Very interesting. Which products did you see flying off the shelf? What do you think was the most successful of the drivers for the year?
Well, I mentioned the FTI Callaway, and I mentioned the Nike Sumo Square, but I got to tell you, the TaylorMade Burner driver was just phenomenal.
Really?
Off the chart sales. They're great value, too.
Huh. I have a friend who's actually going through the same thing. He's gone through a bunch of different drivers and ended up back with the TaylorMade. He was shocked, and you know, it seemed as if from my perspective that Nike was the one who was really out in front with the high MOI, the different geometric shape.
When you go back to the true geometric shape, like the FTI and the Nike definitely was had more sell through here, you know. But still, let's not forget about some of the others, the value priced effective MOI drivers like the Burner, and don't forget still the composite technology that are out there in the Ping Rapture driver. The Cobra products, they still did very well, too.
And Eric, did you see similar results?
Yes, we did, Fred. The Nike, tremendous, especially when it launched. The square technology, people did hit it straighter, and they actually hit it a little bit further. Our market might not have been as successful as others with the FTI, but I know as a whole that Callaway did, you know, did very well across the board, and it's great, great product. You know, the Ping Rapture did very well for us, and that's technically square technology, but a conventional-looking head. So you don't, you know, for those consumers that don't want to look at a square head and it intimidates them, they can look at something conventional and still get the benefit. But I do have to agree with Matt. I believe the home run and the surprise was the TaylorMade Burner. It did tremendous. It improved people's game. They hit it straighter. And part of the other facet with that club is that it was a lighter weight shaft. So it's kind of like baseball. We don't put wooden bats in kids' hands. We put ultralight bats in their hands so that they can swing it quicker. And golf's going in the same direction. Lighter weight, high MOI. They're going to generate more club head speed. They're going to hit it straighter, and they're going to hit it further.
Very interesting. And one of the names that I didn't hear in this conversation, and it's the driver that Kenny put in my hands, was the Cleveland Hi-Bore XL. Kenny, what about you? What were you selling this year, and what about that one? Did it kind of fall off the radar screen?
No, it absolutely didn't fall off the radar screen. I mean, each geographic area sees a different sell-through on certain products. And for us as a whole, Cleveland was one that... that was a very good seller for us, as well as the others that they mentioned. And I'll back up what they said about the Burner being one of the hotter products out there because of price point, for the most part. We were joking here when we do our demo days with these manufacturers that was the club that we were laughing about it. It was just the grip it and rip it. I mean, it just seemed like the thing went dead straight no matter how hard you swung at it. So, I mean, there were a lot of really good products for us. Again, I got the Cleveland in your hands. And you really enjoyed that product. Titleist had some good sell-through for us here as well. You know, I think that, in different regions you have different sell-through.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think that's really interesting is that regionally you can see how different clubs do better. You know, the other product that I would think may not have been introduced in 2007. I don't think it was, but boy, it sure seemed to gain a lot of momentum, and that would be hybrids. Eric, how did you do, and what were your thoughts about hybrids for 2007?
Well, I think hybrids for 2007 made a huge leap. As Kenny said, we got higher MOI, we got a different look in the hybrids, which allowed us to hit it higher and hit it straighter. But the other thing I really think we saw with hybrids is we go to a hybrid because we struggle with the long iron, and we finally saw hybrids be consistent with distance control. And that's extremely important because you're hitting that hybrid into a green. So you want to, you know, make sure that you're getting the yardage that you want, and that all of a sudden you're not hitting it 20 yards further for some reason. That puts you over the green, out of bounds, or, you know, something like that. So I think we saw good-looking hybrids that were inviting to hit, but the biggest change to me was we saw more predictable distance control with our hybrids this year.
But I can't believe that they all manufacturers created the same hybrid. There must have been one that stood out to the consumer from your perspective.
Consumer-wise, the Cobra has just been, I think, a for our area, again, being, talking regionally now, the Cobra has just been very dominating for the last couple years. I think it's an easy-to-hit hybrid, again, kind of lighter weight shaft, a good-looking club. And other very strong hybrid here was the Adams. It did very, very well. It offers a player version in the Idea Pro, as well as the A2 OS. And then, you know, obviously the A3 got introduced this fall, which is the Boxer technology, and it's doing very, very well. We also have a very, very good following here of the Nakent hybrid. Very clean looking, very quality made. Getting a lot of exposure through what used to be the Nationwide Tour, the training ground, and we see a lot of activity with that. But I gotta say, the best and probably sleeper, you know, company wide for us is the Bobby Jones hybrid. Tremendous hybrid, very, very quality made, and very easy to hit.
I'm fascinated that you'd say the Bobby Jones. They've spent a lot of time and money on their infomercials on television promoting their hybrids. How much impact do you think that that's had on their sales?
I can tell you that it draws interest in our market, that people come in wanting to take a look at it, and it's a club that is not a justification buy. If they come in looking at it, there's a good chance they're going out with it.
And the quality is there as well? You think it's
performance is very, very good, yes.
Fabulous. And I'm interested that you commented on the Adams hybrids as well. And Adams, weren't they the leader in fairway wood technology a few years back?
If you look at it, Adams really was the innovator, in my opinion, to a degree, on helping the average player get the ball up in the air from greater distances and find clubs that were replacements for long irons. And things have progressed over time to where their hybrid is very, very good, and it's very easy to hit and looks great too.
And Matt, tell me about what happened in Houston with the hybrids this year.
Just to expand on Eric there, I tell you, the Cobra Baffler hybrid was very good for us. You also have a great value in that hybrid. You can spend $50 less than some of the others out there and get a Cobra Baffler. A very good product. We still saw a lot of sell-through in the TaylorMade Burner hybrid, as well as anything beginning with C and ending in Y, i.e. Callaway, and phenomenal as well.
Anything C, beginning in C and ending in Y?
That's correct.
Now, did you see the rush to hybrids this year from your customers as well? Did you see a large growth in hybrid usage?
Yes, without question. And one thing that you'll see is when they're coming in looking for sets of irons, I mean, you're not selling standard 3-through pitching wedges anymore. They're buying more 5-through pitching the irons, and they're getting one or two hybrids to fill in that 2-3-4-iron gap.
And Kenny, on a national basis, sitting there at the call center for Edwin Watts Golf, getting calls from all over the world, did hybrid sets have a big impact on sales this year? It seems there were a lot more of sets that included the hybrids as opposed to the 2-3-4 irons.
There are. I mean, our typical buying trend, say, 3, 4, 5 years ago was always 3 through pitch and wedge or 4 through sand wedge, and now typically what we stock a lot of is 5 through pitch and sand or 6 through pitch and sand, with the expectation that the customer is going to buy a hybrid or two to go with that set. So it's been the same with us. Hybrids has been one of the most popular trends over the last couple of years, and I don't see that changing anytime soon with the technology that's coming out, the new innovative products that they're coming out with. It's like we've used the term in the past, it's almost like cheating with a long iron. You know, they're so much easier to get airborne. You can stop the ball a lot quicker and not run it through the green, kind of like what Eric said. And it makes the game more enjoyable.
I think that we would all agree with you that if, as Eric was talking earlier about distance control, getting the ball to the green and keeping it there, it definitely makes the game much more fun when you can succeed with that. Let's go now to the most important club for some people, and that would be the putter. Eric, what kind of advances in putter technology did you witness this year?
Well, Fred, putters are going the same direction as everything else. It's a high MOI. It's trying to keep the head squarer at impact. It's trying to get the ball to roll quicker versus get a little bit airborne, which helps keep the ball more online. I think we'd all agree that our course conditions today are way ahead of what they were in the past. So the quicker that we can get that ball to roll on the green, the better we're going to be with distance control as well as accuracy, and it's going to be fewer three putts and more one putts. Now, it used to be that we, with the two ball, would get a bigger head, drive the weight down and back, and that would help get the ball to roll. But in the last year to 2 years, we've now seen inserts come into play that definitely help get the ball to roll quicker and also allow us to have a more conventional or traditional look to a putter so that it doesn't have to get that big. The big surprise for, I think, everybody might be Yes Golf and the Yes putters. C-groove technology, which the grooves have the shape of a C, and they flat out will roll the golf ball. I think the TaylorMade putter line with their insert technology, same thing. You can definitely see the ball roll. And those putters, as well as the Callaway line, or I should say Odyssey, excuse me, you know, they're just tremendous with what they do with the sight alignments and things of that nature. So we've definitely seen putting and putters become more forgiving and advantageous for us.
Kenny, tell me, why is it that there seems to be more independent manufacturers in the putter line than any other type of club? You seem like he was talking about the Yes putters. On a previous episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, we had two independent manufacturers of putters, Frank Thomas and Scotty Cameron. And, of course, Scotty Cameron's name is so big that they created a museum in Japan for his design. Why is it that putters can succeed on so many different levels?
I think a lot of it has to do with putters tend to be more of an artistic ability than being just mass-produced. There's, obviously different strokes for different folks. When you look at Frank Thomas, who we obviously had on that episode of Golf Better with Scotty Cameron, and his line of Frankly Frog putters, it's a totally different concept than the majority of the putters that are out there, but technology-wise has the high moment of inertia that we always talk about, helps get the ball moving in a forward direction as quick as possible and stay online. And if you look at Scotty's line, where he's able to create a flawless, really, work of art. And if you look at the stable of tour players that use his putters, he obviously does a very good job of that. And I think you see a few more of the independent guys out there that have the artistic ability to make something that is very appealing to the eye and is very playable to the consumer and very forgiving. And they're more receptive to that than they are to a golf club that they're having to hit off the tee or from the fairway. I think that they look at some of the what I call component guys that tend to make golf clubs. They don't sell near as well as an independent that makes a putter that works very well.
You know, Matt, I got to ask you this because Kenny and I frequently talk about the importance of getting fitted for clubs. But we hardly ever talk about getting fitted for putters.
Sure. It's equally as important, if not more important. We have a ping fitting system here for putters. They come in. We check the length of the putter, and we also check the lie angle because, my goodness, I mean, so many times people just come in and they grab a 34-inch putter and think that's for them. I mean, it is very important to have the proper lie angle and length on a putter. I think the closer you can get to that golf ball when putting without, of course, being uncomfortable, that's gonna be the right choice for you. So many people are using putters that are way too long for them.
And this is Kenny. I'll reiterate that, and we talked about it on that past episode. But I mean, there's no standard when it comes to putting. For the most part, you have to look at a guy, and for the most part, be able to determine how does he stand when he's putting. And I mean, I'm 6 foot tall, and I use a putter that's 32 and a half inches. That is not the norm for most, but the way that I like to hold my arm straight down and have more of a pendulum stroke works well for me, but might not work well for the next guy. So, I mean, Matt is 100% dead on. If you can get into a retail store and let them look at you, they can fit you in the right putter.
And Matt, let's talk about some products that you saw this year on the putter line that you thought were quite impressive, as did your customers.
Well, they've talked about the Yes putters. That's a winner over here as well. Need to go back to talking about Scotty Cameron. He's got that true milled stainless putter, and Ping's given it a shot in the 303 stainless with all the redwood line. Very good. Stabilization, very stable putter. It's got a lot of weight to it, and people like that. And also Odyssey continues to do very well with their two-ball putter line, as well as the Marksman line.
All right, well, let's kind of wrap things up for the year. This has been really interesting, guys, but I want to get each of your impressions about what you felt was the year's best product and probably which was the product that was the biggest miss. Maybe you consider that the product that consumers missed or one that was introduced that really didn't have the legs on it that everyone thought it might be when it was introduced. Kenny, I'm going to let you go first.
I mean, for us, I think drivers led the pack just with all the new technology that came out, the new buzzwords that were introduced. It helped push the driver sales. We had some great promotions out at retail for new driver technology. I mean, that's to say that the fairway woods weren't far behind them. They weren't at all. But I think the number one mover for us this past year was definitely drivers.
Matt, why don't you take it, and let's hear what you have to say from Houston about your favorites.
Without a doubt, I'll go back to the high MOI on drivers, the introduction of square drivers from most of those manufacturers that we mentioned. Also, Callaway came out with the X-Forged irons. I mean, they're giving forging a shot. And irons, I got to tell you, across the board, we did very well with the Callaway line. In addition, with all the Ping, they had a great introduction of the G10 and the I10 series here in the fall. But Mizuno continues to do very well. Some of the best forging in the industry. They've expanded their line. Now they've got all skill levels they can accommodate with the Mizuno line.
Eric, you want to attack this one?
I'd be happy to, Fred. I'm going to say that here in our market this year, hybrids were a home run. It was that education year. It was the year that everybody really started to understand how important hybrids are in your bag. The golf balls are not designed for long irons at the average golfer's speed. So we need to get low center of gravity clubs in everybody's hands to let them hit it higher and have distance predictability and extend the distance in the yardage away from the green that they can comfortably hit into a green and feel confident. And it was a big year for hybrids, and that was what we saw here.
And nobody wants to talk about what didn't work. Come on, guys, you chickening out on this one?
Fred, with the money that these manufacturers spend on research and development, they very rarely come out with a dud. I mean, they really do. There's
good point.
I mean, there's a club out there for everybody.
Fred, this is Eric, and I'm just going to reiterate that. I've been fortunate to be on a couple of trips with Matt to some of our vendors as well as to some others without Matt. But, Fred, these guys are NASA. They take pride in what they do. Their development and their foresight is so incredible that there isn't bad product out there. It's just the golfer making sure that they find the place that will fit them for what they need. It's there. There's something there for everybody.
Well, I appreciate your feedback on that because, you know, maybe I come from a media-type background and, you know, whenever you read the media or the critics, and I guess that's their job. They're critics, right? So they're going to go and rail on something. But you guys are in the field. You're talking to consumers, so you know what works and what doesn't. So you can see it from right there that if it's not going to work, it's not going to be on the shelf.
Correct.
Okay, let's do one last thing here before we go. I got to ask you guys, if there's something that you're excited about for 2008 or you think is going to be the next big thing. Let's start with Matt on this one.
Wow. Well, it's early read now. We're just starting to see some of the products coming in, and I've only seen bits and pieces, but Callaway has really expanded their line in irons here, and they've made some additions in woods. I think we need to watch out for those guys. But I'll go back to the introduction. With Ping in the fall, it was a late introduction, but maybe something that more manufacturers might catch on to get some sell through in the fall. But the G10 Fairwood and the G10 Hybrid, look out, because now these guys can compete in the hybrid and the Fairwood market where most of the emphasis was in irons before.
Eric, your turn.
Well, I'm going to agree with Matt. The G10 product, I think, is phenomenal. It looks great. It performs very well. The numbers are all great in the vector machines. I think that's going to go very strong. I'm also excited about Adams. They've got a great-looking product. They've partnered up with the Long Drive Remax program, so they're the official driver of the Long Drive now. They have signed some big names to the tour, and that means their product's good. Their product looks really good, and that driver, I think, is going to be a sleeper and be for real.
Kenny, what do you think is going to happen in 2008 that could be exciting for all of us?
There's a lot of great technology coming down the pipes. I'll remind you of what Matt said. A lot of the stuff we don't get to see too much before the PGA show. These guys are pretty hush-hush about new products until they actually launch them at the show, where a lot of manufacturers launch new products in the fall now, where that never used to happen in the past. You know, Cleveland has new products with the XLS Highbore series, as well as Ping and their G10 and I10 line of products, which are absolutely phenomenal. Callaway's new stable of irons they have coming out. They have a new Big Bertha iron coming out. The new FT iron and their X fairway woods are phenomenal. One of the in their same family, but going to Odyssey, I think one of the sleepers for this year that was a good seller for us last year that I think you'll see some more momentum on is the Marksman putting wedge. I think it's a great game improvement club for the average player out there. To use around the greens when he's having trouble chipping. That's one that I'd keep my eye on as well.
All right. Well, actually, this was a great conversation. Gentlemen, I really appreciate your time and your insights to this. Matt Matthews is the manager of the Houston Galleria, Edwin Watts Golf Store. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Fred. It was an honor and a privilege.
And Eric Mumford, manager of the Nashville, Tennessee store. Eric, thanks again, and please give your dad a Happy New Year for all of us here at Golf Better, at Edwin Watts Golf, and, of course, Golf Smarter Podcast.
Well, Fred, I certainly will pass it on, and thanks for having me today. I appreciate it very much.
Kenny, you and I are not done. We've got a lot more coming. Thanks for your time, pal.
Thank you, Fred. I think it was great of these guys to get on with us. I think you can... get an understanding now of how different regions buy different clubs. It's an insight that a lot of people don't get to hear about, and I think it was an absolutely terrific episode.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let me take this time to remind our listeners that as a listener to the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast, when you shop at Edwin Watts Golf or at edwinwattsgolf.com, you receive 10% off all of your purchases plus free shipping. Some restrictions do apply, but to get the details on how to receive your special discount and free shipping, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the ad for Edwin Watts Golf. That will direct you to full instructions and checkout codes. If you have any questions for Kenny, we'd love to hear from you. If we use your question on the show, we'll be happy to send you a Golf Smarter Edwin Watts Golf hat. Just go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the button labeled Ask Kenny. We appreciate your feedback and love to read your reviews in iTunes, so please let other golfers know what you think. And for a guide, updates to all of our golf podcasts, and have a dialogue with other golf podcast listeners, please check out Golf Smarter blog, again, at golfsmarterpodcast.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again for the next episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.